Does anybody know where I need you to go? Please join me in the book of Psalms, Psalms 103. We have just started these cards and our cups to welcome new people. And Tim really has it down and organized, and then I get in the middle of it, and I just kind of mess everything up. And so I was supposed to make sure that you got this card as well. So before we're done with the service, we'll bring you another card and make sure you can fill that out for us. Can you do that? All right, thanks. You know, this is a good time to say that we are looking for ministry in some areas. And one of the areas we really are looking for is we'd love to have someone that could work our information center. And if you are a people person, you love people, you can follow instruction, and you don't miss anybody coming by, we would love to be able to do that for you and have you help us there. So if you're interested in being in that information center, please, would you let me or maybe Sharon, someone in the office know? All right? So this morning, let me tell you where I'm at. This is a message. This is kind of a message that has been in my heart for years. And I've never preached this before. And I've wanted to preach it, and I could never find the right moment. I could never put it together enough. And I've wanted to preach it. I'll tell you, as close as I ever got to this was several years ago. Wonderful dear friend to me as a pastor and to all of you was a wonderful brother. And Judy, it was your husband. And Gene Dundas. How many remember Gene? Of course you do. One day Gene made mention to me. He said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I just really like this verse in Psalms. I said, really? He said, I love it. Any, if you'd like to put that first slide up for me. He says, Pastor, it's Psalms 103, verse 7. And he said to me, he says, I know it. He says, he has made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Really honestly, when Gene said that to me, it kind of just kind of like was this. It just kind of pushed me and over. I never, for whatever reason, I love Psalms 103. And for whatever reason, I had never seen this in Psalms 103. And I don't know why. And so from that point, in fact, in our funeral with Gene, I made that note, and some of you might remember that I made that note, that Gene had introduced me to his favorite scripture. And so from that, I've just kind of carried it, and I go, and I don't know, sometimes I'll go a couple months, and then I'll think about it. Or maybe I'll be reading Psalms 103, and I'll read it. And it just really has touched my heart. Listen again to this verse. He has made his ways He has made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. And this is what the writer is saying. The writer is saying that God made his ways known to Moses, but all of his mighty acts he made known to the children of Israel. There's a difference between mighty acts, there really is, and just your ways being known. Before I go any further, I just got to point down at Audrey. I've been meaning to say good morning to Audrey several times, and I just keep missing that. But Audrey, that just goes with whatever. She's heard that before. I've done that many times. I always forget Audrey, and then I remember. Audrey, it is so good to see you. And Audrey is in her senior year at Northwest University, and we love and appreciate her, and it's so good to have her. And Audrey, I don't know what you have need of, but let us know, okay? Food, groceries, money. You need your dad to buy something. Let us know, whatever it is, all right? All right. So good to have you here for Christmas. So this passage just stirred my heart, and it's done that ever since Gene left that with me. I go through the church in a physical sense, and as I go through the church in a physical sense, I'll see something and I'll remember Gene. Or I'll see something with carpet and I'll remember Gene. I'll remember a lock on a door that we said, Gene, we have to have that lock. And I remember Gene. Do any of you do that? I do. But of all the things that he ever left me, this is what has meant the most to me, with Psalms 103, verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the rest of the children of Israel. Why was there such a dichotomy? Think about this. Why was there such a dichotomy between Moses and the Israeli people? I mean, literally, when they found their way into, for 40 years, into the plains and the deserts the desert, the wilderness, there had to be nearly upward or more than 2 million people, I'm confident. And why would God say that I'm only going to show them my power and my miracles, but I'm not going to show them my ways? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because I really believe that there's tremendous truth here. Please forgive the fact that I allude to my childhood a little bit. I've done it. When you've been here 14 years, you just kind of do it once in a while. But let me allude to my childhood just a little bit. It's interesting. I was telling Ava Lee, coming to church this morning, I was telling her how it was when I was a little boy. And I told her, I said, you know, I would be at my grandmother and grandfather's house on Saturday evening, afternoon evening. I'd go to bed, I would get up in the morning, I would smell breakfast, I would eat, and Grandma had her nice dress on for Sunday. And when Grandma put on her coat, I knew that was my cue. I would put on my coat and I would follow her. I would follow her outside and get in the big Oldsmobile that Grandma would drive. And literally, it was kind of like this. And my grandma was so little and that Oldsmobile was so big and she could look out over just barely and see where you're going. You know what I'm thinking? Of course, it didn't alarm me because Grandma never had an accident. I think God sent angels with Grandma. But here's what I want you to know. As I got older, it wasn't power that I followed. And it wasn't something of sheer power or miracles or lying wonders. What I began to follow from the age of 16 forward, it was something called, I wanted to know Grandma's ways. Because I watched her on Saturday night pray in devotion in the big house on the farm. I would watch her take and open up the Bible, and sometimes I was wondering, is she really reading it or is she telling the story? Because it is absolutely alive. And it was alive to me as a child. I would listen to my grandmother pray for family members. I would listen to her pray in tongues. I never questioned tongues. I never questioned praying in the Spirit. I didn't have anybody try to give me all kinds of theology about why you can't do that. And you know, later after I was saved and born again, as my grandmother playing a part of that, well, the thing that came so amazing to me was I wasn't afraid. I was absolutely wanting to know her ways even further. Grandma, can you talk to me about, I know there's more. Will you talk to me about being filled with the Spirit? I want to be able to speak in tongues like you. The reason I'm telling you this short story here is because as God made known his ways to Moses, I began to have a desire for my grandmother's ways to be known in my heart. I honestly never heard her speak ill of one person. I know there was a few exasperations here and there because she was a farm wife and she was part of a great farm. But I can tell you, I never seen her put anybody down. I never heard her curse. I never heard her or saw her deceive. And I'm thinking to myself, What else would I want in life but to know my grandmother's ways? That she is not deceptive. She doesn't curse. She doesn't hate people. She loves the Lord. She loves him so much that she reads the word every time I'm on the farm. I hear her pray in the spirit. There was so much that I desired coming through that grandmother. One more thing. My grandfather, who was a believer as well, something interesting happened. Later in life, after I'm pastoring and I'm going through now the calling and that I think is my profession for life, all of a sudden I realized people were coming to church as I pastor them on Sundays. And that's normally kind of the time you come to church. How many know that? Let's start over. That's normally the time you will come to church. How many know that? And so I would pastor and people were coming to church on Sundays. Something began to happen in me and in my spirit. I began to remember going back, and I began to recognize that I also wanted to have the Lord make known to me things in my grandfather's life as well. Never saw him cheat anybody. Seen lots of checks go out working in the hay, lots of things like that. But here's what I know, is that my grandfather on Friday night would go into the living room after dinner, and my grandfather would sit here like this, put his feet up, and take his Bible. I stuck out the stand that was right next to my grandfather and great-grandfather, and he would begin to read. And he would start reading on Friday night. Next morning, I would get up. If Grandpa had to do anything that was absolutely important, like if a calf was being born or something, he did. The ox was in the ditch. But the entire day on Saturday, my grandfather cleaned up, and he would now meet the Lord every Saturday. They invited people to come to the farmhouse every Saturday. You see, in the Bible, it says that Saturday is the Sabbath. You will work 6 days, and then you will rest on the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. How many understand that? This is not a teaching for that. I don't want to get mired in this. I really believe that honestly, when the Scripture teaches us to esteem one day higher, we have the privilege to choose. I think God has been so gracious to allow us the freedom to not just to choose, but to fit what is best for us, but to still honor one day higher than the rest. And the amazing thing that happened to me after I'd started pastoring and I'm now moving through life is that all of a sudden I began to realize that I have this deep and centrist desire, this huge desire to honor still the Lord on the Sabbath day. And I don't go around telling all of you that that's what you have to do on a Saturday, because you need to know what you do with your lives. But I found that Saturdays were becoming more holy and more holy and more holy to me. They weren't just weekends. They were becoming holy days to me. How many know what I'm talking about? And so I said, Lord, I want to know even my grandfather's ways. And the Lord began to speak to me and deal with me. So you might say, well, then what do? Do you take 2 Sabbath days? Well, if I want to go fishing and stuff, I might. I'm being funny. Come on back. You know, truthfully, I still see the day that I pastor, the day I minister, the day that we're together, the day my family would come, I still see that as a holy day, my Sabbath. But I thank God for the Sabbath, the day that God rested. And there are times that I want to honor that day in such a special way. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's an amazing thing to do so. Why all of this? It's because in my personal life, I have realized that God has made known his ways. And he's made them through life. Here's one of the ways that God has made known. He has made known who he is through this book. He has made known through a congregation of those that I love and I care for. You know what? I have found literally that the spiritual people that I'm around, sometimes I am closer to them than I even am biological family that's wherever. And I think, Lord, how can this be? It's because of the growth. It's because of the iron that sharpens. It's because of our love we have one for the other. The Bible says, they will know, whoever they are, that you have loved one for the other. And that's how we know. It's because we love one another. And I just want to tell you this morning, church, I think Gene was on to something. I think that when this scripture really meant something, Judy, do you remember him mentioning that scripture to you? Okay, well, I guess he did. I have thought to myself, Lord, there's got to be more. And so I thought, okay, let's do this. Just for a little bit, just for a few minutes, let's begin to find, what does this mean when he says he's made known his ways to Moses and his acts or his power he made known to the children of Israel. I'd like to start, first of all, with the second half. Like this would be verse 7a at the top. 7b would be his acts. So I want to read this to you in the Psalms. Verse 7 says, he made known his ways unto Moses, comma, here's the second part of that sentence. I'll say it in a kind of a paraphrased way. And he made his acts known unto the children of Israel. So I've been thinking about this, and I need you today, let's go to my next slide. I need you to go to Psalm 78. You're pretty close there already. Psalm 78. I want to read, the Lord begins to show Israel his acts. Listen to this. I think I want to probably begin at about verse 20. No. Verse 11. And forget his works and his wonders. You know what? I need to read verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. I start and I present to you in Psalm 78 that God is now going to give us a litany of what he did for Israel. It's going to be an unforgettable experience as we walk through this for a few moments. But it tells us that they refused to walk in his law, nor to keep his covenant. And then verse 11 says, they forgot his works. Are you kidding me? You can forget the sea being opened by the blast of his nostrils. You can forget 10 plagues and judgments under the power and the authority structure of Pharaoh. You can forget what God did to break the back of this powerful man who only knew one thing, and that was he knew power and authority. It says in verse 11, it says, and forgot his works and wonders that he had showed them. Verse 12, marvelous things did he do in the sight of our fathers, in the land of Egypt, and also in Zoan, or in the wilderness. Verse 13. Now pay attention to this. I mean, let's get a load of this. In fact, look up here real quick. You know what sometimes I think we really want to see? Is we want to see some real power and real miracles in our church. Amen. Hallelujah! Yeah. Well, then what are you going to do with it? The thing I fear is that lying wonders and miracles and power, that we can forget these areas a lot quicker than we'll ever forget his ways. Listen to this. Verse 13. He divided the sea and he caused them to pass through it. He made the waters to stand as a heap. 14. In the day he also led them with a cloud, and in the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them drink out of the great depths. Clave the rocks? He opened the rocks. He moved the rocks. He broke them, and water would flow, literally would flow. And do you know what? This wasn't a trickle. It wasn't like they're standing in line for 7 days hoping just to get a hand on one little tin can. When God opened up these, it literally they flow like a gush. And when the waters came out, it began to substantiate and fill hearts and lives. And everybody, the hundreds of thousands of people. Have you ever been somewhere and you remember what they serve you? This is interesting. I was with a pastor just a few days ago right here. And he lost his wife 2 weeks ago. Not local, but from Post Falls. And he had called, and we got together. It was interesting, because I got some of the girls that are here work in the bistro. But it's interesting because the girl standing there, started to take our order, and all of a sudden, my pastor friend looks at her and he says, "I want an OJ." It took me a minute to register OJ, OJ, OJ. And then it dawned on me. I was just thinking, orange juice. So I looked at her and I said, "Man, I don't know where he caught that, but that's what I want too. I want orange juice." You know what I'm talking about? And that's how that works. Does anybody know why I brought that up? He clave the rocks in the wilderness. So how can you forget? If you can't forget OJ, how in the world would you ever forget rocks being broken and crushed and powerful, powerful rushes of water coming out enough to fill probably some of the desert land or some of the lowland? He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. 16, he brought streams out of the rock and he caused water to run down like rivers. Do you understand what a river is? Is there a difference between the St. Joe River and what's the creek up there that comes into it about? Huh? Huh? See, that's why you all can't pastor. You all have different opinions. You just. What is that creek way, way up there about? Huh? That's it. You was born and raised at Marble? So would you call that a river, or would you call St. Joe a river? Ah, I got you, buddy. Yeah. My wife would say a creek, too, but I tell her it's a crick. She didn't like it. 17, and they sinned yet more. Listen to verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. 18, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Man, I wouldn't speak against a waitress like that. Think about what they're saying. They're challenging God in unbelief. Behold, in verse 20, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? 21, therefore the Lord heard this, and he was angry, and fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came out against Israel. 22, because they believed not in God, and they trusted not in his salvation. What did I read to you? This is what I read to you. He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. It amazes me that these kind of acts could go through the generations of Jacob, and they would still provoke him and make him angry, and they still would forget, and they still would say, oh, we want bread. Where is bread? And God has only been given a manna for the last 19 years. Verse 23. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Verse 25, man did eat angels' food. If nothing else, wouldn't you remember that you're eating angels' food?
He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by the power he brought in the south wind, 22:7, he rained flesh upon them in the dust, or as dust. And he feathered fowl like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall to the midst of their camp and round about their habitation. So they did eat and were filled. And he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote them down, the chosen men of Israel. Why? Because in their gluttony and in the things they begged of God, they never thanked him. They never thanked him. They didn't remember. They don't want to remember. You know, this picture that we're using for my slides, I have five total. You'll see the last couple in a few minutes. But you see this road. How many can see the road? Do you? You know, when you think about this, this looks like to me of a place that's called Cayuse Pass, that goes kind of out of Natchez, Yakima, goes up to Mount Rainier, and then heads towards Enumclaw in that direction. Anybody ever been on that pass before? It's a beautiful pass. Thing I noticed about this is this has two lanes. This isn't four lane. You're going either one way or the other. And the thing that's interesting about this little picture is that one lane cannot move over, but one lane can. And as far as I'm concerned, what I desire in my heart is to move over and to know his ways. I think we all have such a tendency to get in that other lane and go as fast as we can. And when nobody's looking, go over that yellow line. We just want to get down the road. We want to get down the road. I'm telling you, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane and know him and know his ways. There isn't anything on planet Earth like knowing his ways. Am I right? Let me finish these thoughts. 27, he rained flesh upon them. 28, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp about their habitation. Verse 29, and so they did eat and they were filled, and he gave them their own desire. But they were estranged from their lust, and but while their meat was in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them. 32, for all this they sinned, and they believed not his wondrous works. I think verse 32 is powerful, because I can tell you right now, I have been around Pentecost my whole life, and I can tell you one thing we desire just about more than anything. We want his power. We want his glory. We want his ability. And why not? He offers it to us. He doesn't hold back if you have the faith to believe. But the thing that amazes me in verse 32 is, so are these. It says, for all of this they sin still, and they believe not for his wondrous works. Don't raise your hand and don't try to fill me in. But when was the last time you saw God do something marvelous? See, I had to probably provoke you to think about it. When was the last time you saw a miracle from the hand of God who is the living God? I probably had to make you go there. You know what I think? I think we ought to rejoice in what God does, his lying wonders, his miracles to perform. But I'm here to tell you something. They should never take us away from him who loves us, from him himself. Verse 33, therefore their days did consume in vanity, and their years were in trouble. Think about that. 40 years they were in vanity and in trouble in the desert. When he slew them, they sought him. Oh. When he slew them, they sought, well, maybe we ought to get things right with God. So they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock. Oh, We had forgotten that he was our rock, and he is high, and he's our God who's our Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right, neither were steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Iniquity would mean perverseness. He's willing being full of passion, he forgave their perverseness and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir his wrath. You know what? I wish I could just read all of this passage, but for the sake of time, I can't. 41 does say that they turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. When you read this, you just go back and forth with all they would see is God's power, then they would forget God's power. And it seems like God made up his mind. Please stay with me. It made up his mind that, you know what? They have no heart for me. And let alone do they not want to pay attention to my power, but they have no heart for me. They would come back and remember maybe the Red Sea. Then they would come back and remember, you know, when the rocks began to be crushed and God brought powerful, powerful acts of water flowing to the entire community of Jacob. They could finally remember and then they would forget. So I gave you this slide to show you that the Lord showed Israel his acts. In Psalm 78, and write it down, I'm not going to go there, but in Deuteronomy 6:22, he showed them his acts, but it still didn't compensate for what God needed in his heart. Say heart. Let me tell you what God longs for in his heart this morning. He longs for relationship with his children. He longs for you to know his ways. You know what? We pretend like we know his ways, but probably not much. Because we act like the world sometimes. We forgive people like the world, and it's not very much. We talk like the world. We do things like the world. And God is grieved down in the center of his heart because we do not act nor respect who he really is. And I'm not putting it on you. I'm putting it on me as well. But I'm telling you, this is amazing. Listen, Moses was born in perilous times. Did you know that? He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was given an educational advantage, probably more than almost any of the young princes of Egypt. And although not to mention that he was given these things, notice what Stephen said when he was just before he was stoned in the book of Acts. Stephen, in addressing the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, refers to Moses as saying that he had been instructed by the Egyptian wilderness, or a wisdom of Egypt, in Acts 7:22. What am I saying? I'm saying that Moses was chosen by God. And he could have followed the wisdom of Pharaoh, the wisdom of Egypt. He could have done anything he wanted to try to position himself. I think he was positioning himself and was positioning himself to become a Pharaoh until one day he began to hear the heart of God. And the heart of God was beginning to say, I hear my people's voice. They have been in bondage for over 400 years. And I want to touch my people. And when Moses began to hear this, even though it's perilous times, Moses tried to deliver them with his own makeshift way, and he killed a man. I'm telling you this short idea because I want you to know that Moses was valiant, even in attempting to do what he didn't know wasn't the timing of God. And even though he feared the vengeance of Pharaoh, he ran for his life to Midian. You remember? There he married Reuel's daughter, Zipporah, and he settled down to be a shepherd. And the thing that's amazing, I don't have it on a PowerPoint, but if you were to look at Midian and where Midian is, he lived there for 40 years. Do you know what he did? He was a sheep herder. after 40 years of being a son of Pharaoh. I'd like to suggest that God can change our hearts if we want heart changes. If we desire for more of God, I believe God can give us more and we'll desire it. Don't tell me, I've wanted to serve God more. I've wanted to be this. I've wanted to have more of the Bible like this in my... Don't tell me that. I believe that if you and I will humble ourselves, even if God puts us in Midian, and even if we marry a shepherd girl and we tend the sheep, and even for 40 years, if we only basically have a distant memory of what we and who we thought God was, he still remembered that God was still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm just saying to you in a contemporary sense, you may say to me, Pastor, nice sermon. Can't happen for me. I'm here to tell you, you're being lied to. And he who deceives and he who kills and destroys is wanting to take your life because he doesn't want you to follow the God of heaven. So I want to bring the last half of this. May I go to my next slide, please? I love this. Because the Lord made known to Moses his ways. Say ways.
Ways.
He made known to Moses his ways. And I started thinking about, what does that mean? So I began to look this up the best I could find. And you know what I found? I found that the idea of two words, his ways, it means trodden paths. Have you ever been hiking and you're hiking out through whatever and you can't find a trodden path anywhere? I mean you're getting like, what am I trying to say? I mean, you're getting berry vines are ripping you and dirt all over the place and you're spraining your ankle and you're all over the place. You can't, because there's not a trodden path. And then all of a sudden, you find a path. And you realize it's been trodden before. There's been somebody else on this path. And then you realize, this is what I've been looking for all day. I'd like to suggest to you, please don't ignore it and don't reject it. I'd like to tell you that there is a trodden path. And that trodden path has been laid out before us by the King of Glory. And Jesus laid his own life down. He surrendered his life. He stepped out of time, eternity, and came into time. And there Jesus grew into manhood. And there Jesus, for 3.5 years, publicly, he began to show what the path can look like to the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he says. I'm saying to you that this morning, the Lord made known to Moses his ways. And the Lord can make known to me and to you his ways. It may not look like everything that the church world would do. And it may not look everything like what some people that are your best friends would do in Christianity. But I'm telling you that if he makes you known to his paths, they're going to echo and reverb. You're going to see the reflection of this book in the path you're on. And you can take it to the bank. You'll never be misled if you're in this book.
Amen.
Do you believe this?
Yeah.
I believe this with all my heart. You see, the ways that God himself walks, every step revealing God's glory. That's what he desires to do. He wants us in a corporate sense to walk in his ways. We wouldn't want to walk like the cults walk. We don't want to walk like religions of the world that have no hope for anyone because they don't believe they have a Savior. We want to walk in the path of Jesus. We want it to be in this house. We want all ministry to be extended from what we realize this book tells us. And we say, like Moses walked in the ways of the Lord, Lord, we want to walk in your ways here too. Oh, God. Does any of this bear witness with you? I want you to go to the next slide for me.
Exodus 33. Would you turn there? You know, Moses had some amazing encounters with God. Exodus 33. If I would bring you first to chapter 32, you would hear God say this to Moses. They are stiff-necked, 32:9. Leave me alone, Moses, verse 10. My wrath is going to get hot against them. And I plan on consuming them, Moses. And then I will make you a great nation. Have you ever read that before? Verse 12 says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them up and out? To slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth, to turn them from, to turn thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against this people. In other words, he says, Lord, that's all you can do. I'm telling you, you have to turn from your wrath. Now, I don't know how to preach this because I don't know that I represent God very good here. I would never say God is an angry God. But I can say that God is quite discomforted and not very happy at times with his people. And when we decide to walk our own way, and we won't believe the power of his miracles, nor will we believe his own sonship that he gave through his son, I don't think God's very pleased with us. So I put this up for you. Show me now thy way, Moses asks God. So go to chapter 33. And in chapter 33, finally, Moses, I think, calms God's ideas down. It says in verse 9 that Moses entered into the tabernacle. There was a cloudy pillar that ascended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Think about this. He talked with him. It's like God is saying, I don't need a whole bunch of people to believe that I opened the Red Sea. I just want somebody to talk to me. Have you ever considered talking to God? Verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar, tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped. And God would say, number 2, I just want some people to worship me. I just want people to worship me. Listen, don't throw it off. Listen, don't tell me to get lost. It is God who says to you, I long for people to come about my ways. For my ways, if you come near me, you will worship me. Do you believe that? Verse 11, and the Lord made known unto Moses face to face. Now, the Bible says that God said to Moses, no man can see my face. He showed the back part of him, that's all. But there's something in the heart of God so amazing that he wants us in a facial expression, I believe, to come to him and know exactly who we are expressing our hearts to. Face to face to the living God. Do you see that? And then in verse 11 it says, and as a man speaks to his friend, what have I said to you this morning? I've said God wants us to talk with him, to worship him, to come into a face-to-face divine relationship with him, and to even call him a friend. God wants to say, I'm your friend? You like me? You like me more than the 21st century? Or 22nd? What century are we in? As a man speaks unto his friend and turns again unto the camp. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, get ready. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. In other words, Moses is saying, you're telling me to bring these people up. And another place he says, you're calling them my people. Why don't you take the responsibility here of your people, God? Then he says,
And thou hast not let me know whom will go with me. In other words, he says, you want me to bring these people out and take them through, and you don't tell me who's going with me? And then he says, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. I don't know about you, but that humbles me to think that God knows me by name, right? And if he knows me by name, maybe, just maybe, he has chosen to put my name in his book. Wouldn't that be awesome? I believe by faith it's there if you've come to his son. So verse 13 says, Moses says, now therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in your sight, show me now thy way. Say thy way. Look what it says. If I found grace in your sight, show me now thy way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. Wow. 14 says, and I'll be able to come into your presence. I'll be able to have rest. This is so amazing to me. I think when Gene spoke this to me and he said, Pastor, I got to tell you a thought, a scripture that I've, to me, it means so much to me. And I thought to myself sometime later, man, I wish I would have had Gene sit down and tell me that scripture, Gene, and make it a sermon for me because I want to preach it. I never got to that point. Gene was with his Lord. But I come to verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in your sight. So I'm going to speak it like Gene Dundas would say. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in your sight, show me now thy way. How about you? Lord, show me your ways. Show me your ways. The last slide. If you would go to Acts chapter 13, I'd like to read this. So go there. I'll wait for you. I need you to see this. Acts chapter 13. You know, if I were just taking a guess and being a guessing man, I would never have thought verse 13 contained what I'm going to read to you. When I read this in verse 13, I discovered Paul had departed from Perga, and he had come to Antioch, Pisidia. And that's where Paul is right now. In the midst of me speaking those words of cities, John Mark leaves Paul and leaves Barnabas and goes back to Jerusalem. But Paul isn't finished. Paul is red hot for the gospel. I mean, he is on this road, and he realized what side of the road he's on, and he's staying there because he realized that he wants to know God. So listen to this. I'm chapter 13, a book of Acts. I'll just read from verse 21. And afterward, they desired a king, Paul is telling them. He's speaking to a group of Jews that are in a synagogue. And God gave them Saul, the son of Cis or Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Verse 22. And when he had removed Saul, him, he raised up unto them David. David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man, just like Moses, that's my paraphrase, just like Moses, who he knew and he believed in the miracles, but he wanted to know my ways. And when I found that man, I knew I could lead my people out of Egypt. And so he says,
I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So I said, Lord, I have to have just a little more evidence. So I went to the scripture. I went to my concordance. I found about seven places where God talks about his ways. He said this, Psalms 18:30, for as God, his ways are perfect. We dare not blame or doubt God. How many would believe that his ways are perfect? You better believe it. Psalms 18:30 tells you his ways are perfect. Psalms 145:17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. Don't come to me and tell me God isn't fair and God isn't righteous. Nor is God a holy God. He just doesn't keep an accurate record. Don't tell me that. It says, the Lord is righteous and just in all his ways. Amen? Amen? You know what? And I'm not going to get into this in a political sense, but I'm going to tell you. Everything now that's going on, they're trying to wage us-ins against you-ins. They're trying to wage Israel against Palestinians, the Hamas against you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everywhere we go, it's athlete against this and owner against this. It's everywhere. They want to divide everything they can. Listen, take it to the book. That if God says I'm righteous and just in all my ways, don't doubt it. That's your team. That's where you stand. Isaiah 55:9. Whoa, is this amazing. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Anybody want to stand and basically tell God what you think because he's not accurate? You know, we fly in 757s at about 38,000 feet. And God says this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You're not going to get any higher than his ways. Hosea 14:9, one of those books in the Bible that we kind of, our pages are all stuck together, we don't ever read. Listen to what it says, Hosea 14:9. For thy ways, the ways of the Lord are right, and they are just, and we shall walk in them. But the transgressor shall fall. Habakkuk 3:6 says his ways are everlasting. I mean, is there any wonder why Moses, who had the education of Egypt, had 40 years of sitting under God's tutelage of just speaking to his heart in Midian, all of a sudden, is there any way that a man like Moses would say, wow, I think I want the ways of God. I want to know him. Seems like that's what it should have been. Habakkuk says his ways are everlasting. Do you believe that? So that tells me that if I'm 90 and I pass into eternity at 91, his ways were just as real as when I was 16, or I was 33, or I was 61. His ways are just as real because they're everlasting. Amen? Amen. Romans 11, if you think we left the New Testament out, listen to verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of both his wisdom and knowledge, the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Wow, think of this. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. And Revelation 15:3, I didn't know this was in that chapter. And I quote this chapter every now and then. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. For just and true are your ways, O thou King of all the saints. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Lord, I thank you this morning. Lord, when you searched under heaven, you found a young man named David, not as strong as other brothers. Inheritance, he probably didn't know much about, but he was a man after your own heart. Lord, I'd like to say this morning, show us thy ways, the ways that David desired and hungered for. God, show us the ways of Moses, your ways of love, tender mercies, your ways of grace, forgiveness. Oh, your ways, O Lord, to never leave us nor to abandon us. Lord, show us your ways. That, Lord, that you from conception, like the writer of the Psalms, you knew me yet even before I was. Lord, these are amazing ways, and we're so grateful this morning, and we thank you. Lord, we recognize today that in your ways, we find how we are restored. We find how we can keep your promises, and we find how that we can also develop relationship that you long for, having relationship with me. I love you, Lord. I give you praise. I honor you, for you are so good. Isn't God good? Let me close your Bibles. Someone asked the evangelist D.L. Moody how that he managed to remain so intimate in relationship with Christ. D.L. Moody replied, I've come to him as best friend that I could ever have and ever be found. I've come to him to trust him in that relationship. I have believed that he's my Savior. I have believed he's my God. I have believed his atonement on the cross is mine. I have come to him and submitted myself on my knees. I've surrendered everything to him. I got up and stood by his side as my friend. And then there isn't any problem in my life. There isn't any uncertainty in my work, but I can turn to him and speak to him as naturally as someone is in the same room with me. And I have done all of these things that I've told you these years because I've learned to trust Jesus and to trust his ways and trust his ways. Praise God. Praise God. This might seem a little sting, but has anybody, have you felt of late that maybe the ways of Jesus, you've just not been wanting, not following him as good as you could? Is that true? If that's you, stand and don't be afraid. Just stand. Oh, how much we need. Have you found that you haven't followed his ways? And maybe just, I'm not saying you sinned. I'm just saying you've discovered after today that you just haven't followed his ways like you should. Stand. Is there anybody else? Feel free. Are you here this morning and you love miracles, but after today, you love, literally, you love him. And you love to know his ways even greater than miracles. If that's your heart, stand. If you want to know him even greater than miracles, stand. Declare to the Lord, I want to know you greater than anything. Stand and don't be afraid.